The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
All right, we got a lot going on. Continue to have a lot going on, not only nationally and internationally, but right here at home in North Carolina, where most of you are. We do have some listeners down there in South Carolina and Virginia and Utah, and we praise the Lord for that. But mostly we're going to focus on North Carolina when it comes to politics. But before we do that, I wanted to share this, that today I just taught my last U.S. history class for the year. That's a two-semester class for high school age homeschoolers. And we're also going to try to expand that to adults, because most of us don't really know U.S. history very well as high school students stuck in the public school system. So we're going to go after everybody. But had a great conversation this week with my three classes of high school U.S. history students. And so one of the things I asked them is, like, give me a word or two to describe American history. Because literally 100% of them, about 60 students, 100% of them said that they view our history differently now than they did 12 months ago. And then you have to unpack that, which is fascinating. But some of the things they said, the good, the bad, and the ugly, it's a roller coaster. It's dramatic. Newton's cradle, which is a physics term for just the natural back and forth. Highs and lows, sharp turns, extremes, a bumpy road, and complicated. That was one class. Another class, freedom. Radical, back and forth, seesaw, different, greed, good and bad, individuality, sinful, cycle, roller coaster, little by little, pleasure, and monumental. Here's another one. This is my last class today, where they were all over the map, which was great. So they were talking about division, powerful, disappointing, political, groundbreaking, materialistic, domineering, repeating, influential, complicated, hypocrisy, interesting because they're thinking with a biblical worldview, innovative. Man is sinful. It's had its moments. Unique, heartbreaking, imperfect, a seesaw, revolutionary, and always changing. So I'm telling you, if you've given up on the youth today, don't do it. What it requires is just us pouring time and understanding and wisdom and knowledge into them, and you'll be shocked at how well that can go, which is why we have to be engaging them, not just complaining about them, which I think oftentimes we write off the younger generation, but that would be foolish. God's never done that to us. We shouldn't do that to them. So North Carolina politics, super important, a lot going on. We've got a primary next Tuesday. You must vote in that. Get yourself educated. I'll share my personal picks again on Facebook if you want to do that, or you can email me, steve@thestevenobleshow.com. Those are my personal picks. Has nothing to do with any radio station or any of that stuff. That's just Steve Noble, citizen. So that's out there. And then November, the election gets even more important. There's a lot on the line, as you know, but we need to stay engaged. So our good friend Matthew Winslow, serving diligently in North Carolina House District 7, as well as, of course, Winslow Homes. And he's a businessman and a brother in Christ and a father and a great confidant and somebody that is down there in the midst of it all that can help us understand. Matthew, how you doing, friend?
Hey, Steve. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Great to hear your voice. Thank you for your time today. So a lot to talk about, but just give us a little bit of update. What's going on these days in the North Carolina House of Representatives, and then we'll talk about election stuff because there's a lot of issues that we need to address.
So right now, you know, the focus is the primary. I know we're going to talk about it a little bit later, but we have actually the primary short session begin, and we'll work on the budget. And so I know you're teaching history, but a little local politics, local civics, is North Carolina has a bicameral budget. So we adopt the big budget, and the long session and the short session are just revisions to the budget. So we're not going to go through the full budgeting process. But we do make changes. Like, for example, we just got our new numbers, and we undershot our target of revenues by 14%,
wow,
which is outstanding.
Yeah, so it's outstanding because why?
Well, because we have low taxes and people like to invest in North Carolina. And when you have more money in your pocket, you spend more money. And that's why we're having more revenues than we projected. And we've underspent what our expectations were. So that's what conservative values do for North Carolina.
Yeah, it's actually the way we all try to live our personal lives and run our households, don't we? I mean, take in more money and spend less. I mean, that sounds vaguely familiar. That's the way it is with a business as well.
Yep. So we're so short session will focus on that. We'll have some bills that'll move through, but mostly budget bills, mostly related to that. When we're not in session, everybody thinks we're not in session, that legislators go home and they don't work, but we get put on oversight committees. And the oversight committee that I'm on is over capital infrastructure. And one of the main things that we're focusing on is that the inflation costs are outstanding. I mean, it's amazing how much inflation we've had year over year and how it's hurting our ability to invest in roads and water and sewer and buildings and all the things that people in North Carolina want. And so we've had some of the consultants that are working on that for us to come in and do some presentations. And they've actually done a pretty good job of either changing the scope of work or combining projects so that we're not having budget overruns and having to keep coming back and asking for money from the legislature. So that's really what we've been focused on when we were not in session.
Yeah, and oversight is something that we need more of, not less of, and especially in that particular instance, somebody like you that runs a custom home building company, you know all about the cost of goods and what that does to your bottom line, and that's the challenge in this inflationary environment, which is very, very challenging, not just for us as individuals, but for the whole state and for various counties, whatever level you want to look at, this inflation that we're dealing with is a massive problem and a massive challenge, and we see that happening all over the country. But as we turn the corner and talk about the election, Matthew, for those of you that don't know Matthew Winslow, he is ardently pro-life, has been for years, puts his money where his mouth is, he's engaged, he talks about it as a legislator, but as a follower of Christ, he's deeply engaged with that movement. What was your reaction, Matthew, a little over a week ago when all of a sudden it would appear from that leaked majority opinion, which is not a final draft, that Roe versus Wade is going to get overturned? How did that hit you?
It was almost like surreal. Like, is this real? You know, you can't trust anything that comes out anymore. You question everything. And yeah. So when it came out, my first thought was, all right, my wife actually, when she had told me, And I said, I double check that. That can't be real. There's no way, you know. And then the story started popping up left and right, and I thought maybe it is for real. And so, Steve, that's fantastic. If we can move, you know, if we can swing the country back in the opposite direction and start moving people into understanding that, you know, what abortion actually is, that this is the first step, you know, I love it. I'm all in.
So. Yeah, we're all in. And that has ramifications for us in North Carolina. We're going to talk to Matthew about that. Because if it does get overturned, it gets pushed back to the states where we have a lot of people in the legislature that are ready, willing, and able, but we don't in the governor's mansion. That's going to be an issue. Matthew, I'm going to put you on hold. Talking to Matthew Winslow, NC House 7. We'll be right back. Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you, and an important day today, as it is every day. But as we get nearer to next Tuesday, May 17th, we got a primary coming up. We're going to talk to EC Sykes, who's been on this show before, a dear friend and brother. EC4NC.com is his website. So we're going to talk to him about his run for North Carolina Senate District 18. Matthew Winslow currently serving in North Carolina House District 7. I love these guys. They love the Lord. They love their families. They love the country. They love the nation and the state. And so they're willing to set aside time. They're both very, very busy people. To serve. And that's the deal. Like Jesus said himself, I didn't come to be served, but to serve, and gave his life as a ransom. And so we should be following that example and doing whatever we can. In this nation where you've got 340 million neighbors and everything, for the most part, that our government does affects your neighbors, how can you sit there and not be involved? First acceptable minimum was to be praying for those in authority over us. And I would add praying for these elections. But to not be voting, to me, is just flat out sinful, because you know that things that happen at the local level, state level, national level affect your neighbors, including the unborn, and you do nothing about that. So you just walked right by the guy on the road. You're just like the Pharisee and the Sadducee, unlike the Samaritan who stopped and helped. So you have to be engaged. You have to do something about it. You can't just sit there and say, no, my vote doesn't count. If it's just you and the Lord, good luck with that. Try to run that one up the flat. I don't really care what's happening in my neighbor's, Lord. I'm fine, and my vote doesn't matter. No, you can't do that. So we're going to talk about that now with Matthew Winslow. Matthew, again, thanks for your time today, my friend.
Hey, good to be back. So I was listening to you chatting about voting and getting out to vote. I just remind everybody that we have 17 days of early voting, including the day to vote. Is it 17 or 14 days? But basically two to and a half weeks plus voting day. And so there's no reason we can't make time to go vote.
Right.
All right? So,
yep. Zero.
Early voting starts this week. That's right.
Yep. Zero excuses. And then May 17th, of course, next Tuesday. So, and then we'll be back in November and we'll be talking to Matthew between now and then as he's dealing with elections as well. But this is a big deal, what's going on with this election, and especially in November, Matthew, here in North Carolina. We were talking about Roe versus Wade and the eventual, God willing, overthrow of that in the near future. Watching the left go apoplectic, it's like watching the prophets of Baal throwing themselves down all over the place and cutting themselves. That's kind of what we're watching. That's the spiritual reality of what's happening. But what's that going to mean here in North Carolina? For all of you that don't understand this, if and when, and I believe it will, Roe versus Wade is overturned, it pushes the issue back to all 50 states. So here in North Carolina, then we get to decide what to do on the issue of abortion. So what's going to happen down there at the North Carolina legislature?
Steve, nothing. Nothing's going to happen because we do not have a supermajority to overturn Cooper. And Cooper is not going to go along with any bills we try to run that have to do with abortion and so or pro-life. And so that's why this election in the midterms is so important that you get out there, you vote. Not only do you vote, but you go out there and help candidates that are pro-life. Because without having a majority, we have to have three more people in the House and two more in the Senate. And then it's even more important than that, or it's all equally important, but judges. Right now there's a 4-3 majority in the Supreme Court. And it doesn't matter what's legal and what's constitutional. Once it hits that Supreme Court, they just make up law as it goes. We saw that when we had our redistricting. They just made up the law and did it how they wanted to. And so until we flip them back to conservative court, there's no way we can move in through the House, the Senate, get it past the governor. And if we do all that, if we get Supreme Court, they're just going to overturn it anyway.
Yeah, it's like beating your head against a brick wall over and over again, and that's why we're going to be beating that message into the ground between now and November, because, again, I'm so glad you answered that question that way, Matthew, and I hope that was deeply disturbing to everybody when I asked, hey, don't the Republicans control the House and the Senate in North Carolina? Yes. Then how can the answer to what are we going to do about the life issue be nothing? Because the political reality is you've got Cooper sitting there who vetoed an Infant Born Alive Act. He's not going to sign anything that restricts abortion. I'm sure he'd be fine with it all the way up until the moment of delivery. And then even if you get it past him, like you said, Matthew, all anybody has to do is sue. And as soon as it gets to the North Carolina State Supreme Court, which is warped and leftist, then you lose again. I mean, that's just the reality of elections. They have consequences.
Well, and I try to channel a little bit of my Steve Noble and do a little shock, you know, so people say, what did he just say?
Yeah.
You know, I want people to perk up and understand exactly what that means is that, yes, we have very good, solid, conservative legislators in the House and the Senate that are very, very pro-life, and they would change it tomorrow if they knew they could make it happen. But the problem is that we do not have the supermajority to make it happen. And if we had the supermajority and we get it past the governor, we still have a 4-3 Supreme Court. So that's why it's very, very important that we support those people running for Supreme Court. For years, we've ignored the court system, The Republicans have fallen behind. We made up ground in the last election. We took back the appellate court, and we picked up one more seat. We got Judge Newby as our Chief Justice. But right now, we have to turn it with one more seat in the Supreme Court.
Yeah, and that's a big deal. With one change, you get that done. You go from 4-3 liberal to 4-3 conservative, and then all of a sudden we can do the right thing in this state. What, do you have an inkling, Matthew, of how far do you think the Republicans in North Carolina would be willing to go on the issue of abortion? Do you think they would be agreeable to an outright ban? Do you think there's going to be pressure there for the quote-unquote exemptions, rape, incest, life of the mother? Do you have a read on that?
No, that one's getting a little too much in the weeds. That I haven't dug that deep into it. I know they're very strong pro-life. Personally, Steve, I believe conception is life. Okay, yeah. That there is no other way to look at it. All right, and so that's how I look at it. Steve, you and I have talked a little bit on the show. The reason I'm very strongly pro-life. One, I believe in the Bible. I believe what it says. You know, I knew the, I stitched you and I knew you when you were in the womb. I mean, it's very clear to me. Also, my mother had me at 17 years old and being pressured to have an abortion and saying that's going to ruin your life and you're going to miss out opportunities. My mother was still in high school and still, you know, had me. So it's very difficult for me to hate myself and help hate others in the same situation. You know, while we're talking about it, remember, it's not just the pro-life portion, it's also the aftercare. So we have to remember that we take care of the mothers and the children, and we help provide those services. And there's all kinds of organizations that people can get involved in that not only help with pro-life, but also help the aftercare.
Yeah, the interesting thing to contemplate here, and we'll talk about this more once Roe gets dumped, is can you begin to, if we can accomplish these goals in the election in November, imagine this, that we have control of the legislature, we have a supermajority, we can overturn anything, any veto that Cooper throws at us. Could you imagine, Matthew, would it even be possible that we could actually get some state taxpayer money going to support pregnancy resource centers in order to help these moms and dads, obviously, in order to keep their children and to help them, because a lot of them are in a troubled situation? Is that something that we could actually go for?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Steve. So actually, in the budget this year, I can't remember the exact numbers, but I think it's about $3.5 million went to pro-life organizations to do that very same thing.
Yeah, so that again, this is, hey, we've wanted this for years. We fought for it for years. We prayed for it for years. All of a sudden, if God throws us the ball, you got to be ready to run with that. We know that Matthew will, and we'll continue to talk about that. Matthew Winslow, North Carolina House 7. God bless you, brother. Thanks for your time today. We'll talk again soon.
All right, thanks, Steve.
All right, pal. We'll talk later. We'll be right back with E.C. Sykes running for North Carolina Senate District 18. We'll be right back.
Oh, angels said from above. You make my world light up. When I was down, when I was hurt, you came to lift me up.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Gosh, Steve, you sure do talk about politics a lot. Yes, I know. So, gosh, Steve, you sure do have a lot of people running for office on a lot. Yes, I know. Why do you do that? Because I love my neighbor as myself. That's why. I just explained that in the last segment. I continue to explain it year after year, especially in the election cycle, because we happen to live in a country where what happens at the local level, whether it's like here in Wake County where I live in Raleigh, Wake County commissioners, the Raleigh mayor, whatever, you go to statewide positions in the North Carolina State Senate or North Carolina State House or whatever position at the state level. And then, of course, you go national. And in this country, politics affects pretty much all of us. So to have no interest in politics and no involvement in politics, to me, is you're just walking down that road. You know that there's some people on the side of the road that are lying bloody and bruised and are in trouble and need help. And so you do nothing. That's essentially what you're saying when you choose not to be involved with politics. At the very least, like I said before, praying, but then certainly up next to that, I would add getting out and voting, which requires that you can be informed and do that. Or you can do it the Chicago way and just do what I tell you to do. So, because I put my personal list out every 2 years, that's my ode to my Chicago background. E.C. Sykes is in the House today running for North Carolina Senate 18. And I joke about that every 2 years. EC, it's great to see you, by the way. And say this is my ode to my Chicago roots. Chicago roots being in Chicago, you vote as many times as you can get away with. So what I do with my list, and I run into people at the polls every 2 years that use my list to go vote. Yeah. And I'm like, well, there you go.
There's thank you for your list, Steve. So it takes a lot of work to research the candidates, and we appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. It just depends on what candidate you're talking about. But it's great to see you. Thanks for coming in. North Carolina Senate seat in the 18th district. But this isn't your first rodeo, so let's back up a little bit because people might be thinking, why do I know this name, E.C. Sykes? You have a great name. And so you ran before. Let's talk about that and why you decided to run again.
Yeah, and you're right. We ran in 2020 for Secretary of State. That was a radical move for us. It was a calling then. This was a calling for us as well. The Secretary of State race gave us an opportunity to really begin to understand the campaign process. Hey, look, when you run across the state, you learn the campaign process pretty fast.
Yeah, because Secretary of State is a statewide race, so you have to talk to everybody.
Right. And, you know, we chose that race because of my business background. Mm-hmm. It was an area that we could easiest explain the value we brought to the people of North Carolina. But it's our values that compelled us to run. We saw what was happening to our country and our state. And we wanted to stand in and make a stand for that. It was a calling for us. We're glad we did it. It was a tough race. We didn't know we ran against the most difficult, longest incumbent there. And so, but we did okay. In fact, at the end of it, while we're sad we lost, we reflected back, saying, there's some things we could have done better, but we didn't. We're okay with it. It was actually, it was a well-ran campaign.
Yeah.
We left going, you know, we're not disappointed, right, in it. Sad that we lost, and we didn't do something that we should have done.
Yeah.
You know, you had Baronella Stutzman on the show. I was here with you when she toured. And when she lost her Supreme Court case, her husband put out a statement. And he said, look, our job was to stand. God's job was to determine the decision.
Right, exactly.
And that's kind of our feeling, right?
Yep.
We ran. We were faithful, right? God does what he wants.
That's our job, is faithfulness. He deals with fruitfulness. Stay on your side of the equation. That's the way I've always looked at it.
And so in this case, when we finished, surprising us, never considered running for a legislative position, the Senate caucus called and said, look, we need you, right? This is what's at stake. And you talked about part of what's at stake.
Yeah, with Matthew.
Right. And so we already knew that Supreme Court had the Roe versus Wade decision in front of them. We already knew that likely it was going to get pushed to the state. We know that we got to have a veto-proof majority if we're going to get anything done in North Carolina.
Yeah.
The district that they called me about is of the 30 seats that we – Senate seats we have to have two more. We need 30.
Yeah, we need three. We need to pick up three in the House. We need to pick up two in the Senate or three in the Senate?
3-2-1.
3-2-1.
Right? And so three House, two Senate, one Supreme Court. So when they look at them and they rank them, from the easiest to the number 30, the one that you got to get in order to make it the whole thing work, my district got ranked number 30.
Wow.
I get the privilege of holding the ball at the last minute and deciding, are we going to get this?
Yeah.
And so I'm going to look at it and go like, Steve, man, we've prayed for abortion. We've marched. We've fasted. We've done everything we could do about this issue. Now this issue is at our table. This is a time that we get a chance to make a decision where life is respected and different. And the women that are involved in it are honored and taken care of as they go through some really tough times.
Absolutely, which is why I brought that up with Matthew and like Human Coalition down in Texas. It's amazing how much money Texas, and you were from Texas yourself, and that's where you worked with Ted Cruz, and that's like kind of an interesting way in getting into politics more directly. But they pump all kinds of money into pregnancy resource centers down there and Human Coalition in order to help women that are caught up in a, not by accident, by the way, in most cases, caught up in a situation where they're like, I don't know how I'm going to do this.
Right.
And they'll go to the state for assistance with all kinds of other stuff. The state, it's okay, because it's the way the country works, that we provide assistance to moms that are in a tough position, knowing that in North Carolina, maybe it'll be illegal to get an abortion. So what do you do? And we need to be there to deal with that as well.
Statistically, 75% of women are in a difficult situation already in. They're already saying, look, I can't hardly take care of myself. How am I going to take care of somebody else? 75% of the time, if they could see a solution out, they choose life. And that's what things like organizations like Human Coalition do, is they give you a path to being able to see how I can get a solution.
Right.
And look, here's our opportunity. As Christians, we have a chance now not to condemn these women, but to put our arms around them, to help them get through a really difficult time in their life. And so here's a chance for us to testify, this is the way you handle hard situations like this.
Yeah, and again, like you said earlier, we've been fasting about it, praying about it, marching about it, and then all of a sudden God gives you a lateral and throws you the ball. You better be ready to do something about it. This is really funny. A friend of mine on Facebook Live, Emily, E.C. Sykes is in my district. He sends me mail every day. Big smiley face. But that's the way it goes. So make sure, Emily, you get out and vote for E.C. and get other friends to do it as well. So that's obviously a huge issue. What are some other things that concern you in terms of what's going on here in North Carolina? And if you're in the North Carolina State Senate, what are some priorities for you?
Well, you know, so we've got a number of social issues, and my faith filters through all of those. Putting those aside, look, North Carolina is also being blessed with a lot of jobs coming to our state, which means some challenges on our culture, but also means that we're having some economic swings. Part of that is the urban areas are doing well, the rural areas are not. And so for the first time in our state, we've balanced over half of our population now has moved to the urban areas and away from the rural.
Wow.
Right? And so we've got a job mismatch as a result of that. And so we need to think about economically, how do we bring prosperity more equal across our state,
yeah,
rather than concentrated into certain areas. So my background's in the business area. We look forward to being able to help in that area as well. And we've learned through the last administration is that when the lower income brackets of people move up and their earning power that's there, their viewpoints become more conservative along that process. So as we bring prosperity, they naturally understand what that means. And so I look forward to bringing some economic prosperity to some of the rural areas of North Carolina.
Isn't that interesting that the more prosperity they experience, the more conservative they become? Because you have to. I say that all the time. And if you're going to make your personal life financially work, you have to live a conservative life. Otherwise, you go broke. And only the government can just, when it goes broke, just continues to print money. None of the rest of us can do that. You can go get credit cards, but sooner or later, you won't be able to get another credit card.
Yeah, counterfeiting is only legal in the U.S. government, right?
Exactly. So, where is District 18, by the way, for North Carolina?
So this is it's particularly important people understand. It's Wake Forest, Roseville, northern Wake County, going over to the Durham line. So basically 401 Mitchell Mill Road, if you're in that area, over to Wake County. Durant Road to the Virginia line.
Wow.
And so it's all of Granville County, northern Wake County. And here's the reason that's so important. It's that district that's the people that decide whether we get number 30 from a Senate seat or not.
Yeah,
it's that
right.
district actually makes a statewide decision for us. And so if you're in Wake County and you want to make a difference and you don't think you can move the needle where you are, man, we need phone callers. We need NORDOCers. We need all that help. This seat will matter.
Yeah.
And there is no dispute from either party what's at stake. Everybody agrees what's at stake is a supermajority.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just depends on how you view what the answer should be.
Yeah, it really is for all the marbles. We're not talking about being in the Sweet 16. This is actually the championship game, and this is it.
And it's about life.
Right? It is. I mean, that's why we keep, and I think whoever the leaker is going to be a liberal. They're going to work for a liberal Supreme Court justice. And they were thinking, let's get abortion to the front of the table, because that's nothing else is going well for the Democrats on the national stage and in many ways on the state stage. And so they had to have something. And so this was their kind of Hail Mary pass, which, of course, they hate Catholics now because we've got Catholic Supreme Court justices. But do the people in District 18 understand what's at stake? Do they know they're kind of at the epicenter of this battle?
Well, they're learning, right?
Yeah.
And our job is to get that message out, and people's help for us to get that message out is what's so critical.
Which we're going to keep talking about that. We're talking about E.C. Sykes. He's here in the studio today. E.C. forNC.com is his website. EC4NC.com. When I told Josh that, he goes, "That's an easy one." Praise the Lord. Yes, it's easy. EC4NC.com. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same.
EC nailed that one.
Gold
yep,
letter
that's Johnny Cash. When the man comes to town, that day is coming, by the way. And whether he comes to town or you go meet him, okay, one way or the other, we're all going to face judgment. And if you're in Christ, you don't have to worry about that. An accounting, and then you can get your rewards, which will be worthless to you at that point. You'll just throw them back at Jesus' feet. But outside of that, when the man comes to town, and he will when he comes back, at that point, it's all over. So you better make sure that you're in his family through faith in Jesus Christ. That's an adoptive situation. Otherwise, there are no second chances, okay? There's not a purgatory. You're not going to have some option to try to talk your way out of it when the man comes around. It's just a done deal. So make sure you deal with that before you breathe your last breath. And ultimately, that's more important than anything we talk about in the issue of politics or even the abortion issue. And the reason we talk about abortion and the reason for Christians who say even some that say, and I'm going to ask you about this, EC, some that say that they're actually have a problem with abortion being overturned, because you were just mentioning on the break about some young people. I did this recently in an environment with other Christians who didn't quite agree with everything I was saying. And we were talking about the value of the gospel and why we share the gospel, because we love people and we care about them. We care about their lives. And I'm like, do you guys know you're making a pro-life argument, don't you? I know we're talking about the gospel, but the reason the gospel matters is because people matter. And if you're saying people matters, then don't they matter when they're in the womb?
Right.
Yes, they do. I mean, we right. care about people. That's why we want to share the gospel. We want everybody to hear the good news. God doesn't desire that anybody should perish. And some folks didn't like that I made that leap. I didn't think it was a leap. I thought it was a logical thing, but some folks didn't like it. I don't speak the truth based on whether people are going to like it or not. That's just our job. You mentioned this earlier, EC. Just being faithful. Your job is to be faithful. Leave the results up to the Lord. We're talking to EC Sykes. He's running for North Carolina Senate District 18, which is the number one battle in the state, because we have to get a supermajority. We need to pick up 3 seats, conservatives, in the House, 2 seats in the Senate, and 1 seat in the Supreme Court. And then we have a supermajority, and we can ignore Governor Cooper for the next 2 years, which would be a huge blessing. So perfect. Thanks for having us here. Did you say you had a Johnny Cash story?
Yeah, I did. Well, it's far off topic, but yeah.
That's
all
right.
So
I'm a scatterbrain. I do that all the time.
EC for NC. So people said, what a great, I mean, it rhymes. It sounds pretty cool. How'd you get that? What does EC stand for? And I kid them. It says, Mom says it stands for excellent candidate. Right? So, but actually, my parents gave me 3 things. I was blessed to, I mean, they weren't, we came from humble background. He was a policeman in Raleigh. Mm-hmm. I mean, Durham. But they gave me a great character trait, right? Hard work. Honesty, integrity, you know, personal responsibility, and it just built them into who I became as a person. They gave me an introduction to Jesus Christ. I was raised in a Christian home. They made it easy for me to find a Savior, and that was, and I'm grateful for
that.
Oh,
man. Yeah.
And the third thing is they gave me my name. And so I'm a junior. My father goes by Eslie, which is what E stands for.
Eslie, E-S-L-E-E?
E-S-L-I-E.
L-I-E.
Like Leslie without the
got it. Okay.
L. C is for Cornelius, like the Roman soldier Cornelius. And so, but I am so grateful. They didn't call me junior. They didn't call me little. They didn't get any of those. He got Eslie. I get EC. And I'm.
Wow.
So my aunt's picking on me. And she goes, like, Eslie, like, that's like a boy named Sue, right? Johnny Cash's old song. And so when I hear Johnny Cash, I go back to
you know,
the humble beginnings, the name that
that's God, really God. Funny.
My mother didn't know we were running for office. Nobody in my family is. Ever, I mean, we're 10th generation North Carolinians.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever in for public office.
Yeah,
and
amazing?
So EC for NC just worked out to be a blessing.
Yeah, and that's, by the way, that's EC. That's the actually the initials. Okay, EC4FORNC.com is the website. And we'll talk some more in a minute about how everybody can be a part of that. Not the least of which, by the way, friends, this is the deal. If you've listened to this show for a while or watched, you know what you're not going to be surprised by what I'm about to say. But as soon as you know something, now you have a responsibility for it. And then the question is, what do I do with what I know? And that's where James was talking about. Show me your faith by what you say. I'll show you my faith by what I do. Same thing when it comes to the pro-life issue, which we've been talking about. But you mentioned you were in a business conversation recently, but the subject of young people came up in terms of what they believe when it comes to the abortion issue. I want people to hear this because I think they need to know what's out there. And I think this is going to ring true. A lot of people are going to be like, oh, yeah, I keep running into that.
So I'm a big believer in no consequences. And so I'm in this conversation, and I believe it's important. Conversation. It was a business conversation. He knew I was running for office. So he just asked, how you doing? What's it like? What's going on? And so, you know, we shared. It was going well. We're hopeful we'll get through the primary. Things look good for us at present. But right now, abortion is the topic of the day.
Oh,
and so the conversation turned to abortion. He says, look, I got 2 daughters in college in Boston, and I've got 1 getting ready to go on the way. And they're getting inundated from the social media side on their rights as abortion and what's going to happen with their inability now to choose. And they've moved. Social media's moved them from being conservative thinking to being liberal thinking because of not only them, and it's moved their friends.
Oh, yeah.
And so the message to me is, well, first, I want to have a conversation with them to kind of like, mm-hmm. But the real thing that's important to me is, look, there's a war out there. There is still a war out there, and social media is working really, really hard to turn our young people's mind away from righteousness and to another way of thinking. We need to be aware. This is not over.
Yeah.
Right? And so I'm in the political piece of it, but a more important part of it is the day-to-day lives of the people that are trying to work through what righteousness is.
Yeah, and teaching them how to be critical thinkers, which is why I do what I do when I'm not in the studio and I'm teaching high school level homeschoolers, is teaching them critical thinking. Because I'm telling you, you guys are being sold all the time. You guys are being inundated with information all the time. It's about 32 gigabytes a day. That's assaulting them. And when they're young, they don't have any wisdom or discernment, hardly any. So they don't have a filter,
right?
And they're literally, we talk about meditating on scripture. They're meditating on social media messages all the time,
right.
Not really even knowing it. It's the frog in the pot that started, and we see this now in the public school system, starting like in kindergarten. You put that frog in the pot in kindergarten, and depending on the teacher, but certainly with the school system and the curriculum, they're marinating in something for years. And between kindergarten and 12th grade, that's 16,000 hours. That's a lot of marinating. Right? You marinate in anything for 16,000 hours. Guess what you're going to smell like and taste like. Right,
exactly.
Exactly what you're marinating
in. And so what often happens, and what's happened in this case, is that the message that we have gets confused with lots of clutter.
Yeah.
Right? And the way to clear that up is just ask some real basic questions. Real fun. Is the baby alive?
Yeah.
And once you come to grasp with that, and you really get it, then some of these other things get to be much more clarified.
Yeah.
But they never address that particular issue, right? Are you talking about a human life here or not? In our case, it's clearly, a human, and I think science supports,
of
it's
course.
A human life.
Well, that's one thing I'll bring up every once in a while on that topic with somebody that's outside of our opinion on it. Not opinion, it's just a basic fact. So you're a science denier? No, do you believe science speaks the truth about COVID? And usually with that type of person, oh yeah, absolutely. Does science speak the truth about, I don't know, global warming, whatever? Yes, absolutely. Okay. Well, you do realize that there's really not a biologist on the planet that would say that once you have conception, that's not human life. So,
That's right. So
you must be a science denier, because a scientist will tell you that's a human life.
Right.
You're saying it isn't?
Right.
And you have a what? You have a philosophy major? I mean what?
You get those problems all the time. You get it the same way with creationism and Darwinism and racism. And you can't be a Darwinist and believe in that you're not a racist.
Right.
The logic
stuff
don't work that way. And so,
which requires conversation, and we have to engage.
And I think for me, and what's important here for us to realize, this is just not a conversation about saving life. There's a woman involved in this, too.
That's right.
And they need to be honored. They need to be respected. They need help. They need to be loved. And we need to come across now as Christians, as compassionate, loving people. We can help people that are – we need to testify to them.
And we need
to testify to them with how we treat them with respect and love and honor. They're in a difficult spot. They don't need somebody to tell them they're in a difficult
spot. Right. They know that. Right.
What they need is somebody to come along beside them and hold them up during this difficult time.
Yeah.
Here's our opportunity. And finally, they didn't get there by themselves. Where are the men?
That's right. Where are the men?
Right. And so we need to treat this as not just a women's issue. This is a man's issue, too. Right. And these men need to be responsible for the life that they created.
Well, there's a nationwide study a couple of years ago of post-abortive women, and about 80% of them said if the father of the baby had said, let's keep the child, they would have kept the child.
Yeah.
80%.
Yeah.
I mean, that's about 800,000 kids a year.
Yeah.
If men would be men the way they were designed to be, and step up to the plate, then we would solve this, which is why we have to be engaged. How can people help? We're talking to E.C. Sykes. He's running for North Carolina Senate District 18, which, by the way, I'm looking at the map. So this is kind of as you go up northeast out of the Raleigh area up in Youngsville. And do you go into Franklin County?
We don't. And so Matt Winslow, who you had on earlier, he and I share part of Granville County.
You have a little overlap there.
Fred Von Cannon, who I think you've had on, our districts are almost totally overlap.
Got it.
With it. And so I get to be the Senate side. They get to be the House side. And then there's some other good people that's running in Granville County and in Wake County that we get a chance to share.
And what kind of help do you need?
I mean, hey, look, messaging, right? I mean, our biggest issue is the uninformed voter.
Mm.
How do you inform people of the choice that they have? I'm a Christian businessman running for office. It's a radical choice that we've made to do. And people need to just understand the choice that they have, right? Particularly, that's going to be the case in come November.
Yeah.
What's your choice? Let's just go through a couple comparisons of what they are.
Is it helpful if people just like share a website, they post on Facebook?
Please.
Every single thing matters.
Everything matters. I'm an outsider. As an outsider, what I don't have is a network.
Right.
I need you to help me with my greatest strength and greatest weakness.
You need money?
I need your network. EC4NC.com.
And you need volunteers.
All the time.
Yeah, you need all volunteers all the time. By the way, friends, and I've said this numerous times over the years. Like, if you go show up in an abortion clinic and pray, you're going to be blessed by your obedience. When you get involved in the political process, you know you're doing something rather than nothing. You're trying to impact the life for your neighbor, and that God will bless you for it every time. EC4NC.com is the website. EC4NC.com. And go figure out a way that you can serve and help that cause. EC, great seeing you, buddy. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much again.
You're very welcome. All right, we'll be back tomorrow, God willing, friends, with Theology Thursday. And like my father always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.